Okay, I would now like to call to order the 6 o'clock special meeting of the Berkeley City Council for Tuesday, July 21st, 2020. Before we proceed to roll call, I'd like to once again read the public advisory. Pursuant to Section 3 of Executive Order N-2920, issued by Governor Newsom on March 17, 2020, this meeting of the Berkeley City Council will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. Please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and the shelter-in-place order still in effect, and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that can spread the COVID-19 virus, there will not be a physical meeting location available. Live caption broadcasts of council meetings are available on BTV Channel 33 and via an internet accessible video stream on the City of Berkeley's website. To access the meeting remotely using the Zoom platform, a link was provided. If you are participating on Zoom and do not wish your name to appear on the screen, then use the drop-down menu and click on Rename to rename yourself to be anonymous. To request to speak, use the raise hand icon. By clicking over the bottom of the screen, you'll be added to the speaker's queue. To join by phone, a number was provided, and if you're participating by phone and wish to comment, please press *9, you'll be added to the speaker's queue. To submit written comments to be read aloud during the public comment portion of any agenda item, please email clerk@cityofberkeley.info with the subject line in this format, public comment item number, and list the item number you are commenting on. Please observe a 150-word limit. Time limits on public comments will apply, and all written comments will be entered into the public record. And please be mindful this teleconference and video conference is being recorded, and all of the rules of procedure and decorum, which apply for meetings of the council, also apply to meetings being conducted by teleconference and video conference. With that, if we can please call the roll of the council.
Council member Keserwani?
Here.
Davila?
Present.
Bartlett? Councilmember Bartlett, looks like he's on the Zoom. We can come back. Harrison. Hahn.
Present.
Wengraff.
Present.
Robinson.
Hello.
Drosty.
Here.
Mayor Aragin.
Present.
And then Councilmember Bartlett is on. Or no. Okay, and Councilmember Harrison is here.
Yes.
Yes, okay. All right.
Okay, thank you. A quorum is present. We will not be taking public comment on non-agenda matters as this is a special meeting of the council, but we will take public comment on the consent calendar and on the one action item. So we have a consent calendar which consists of items 1, 2, 3, 4. Pursuant to the rules that we adopted for meetings conducted by teleconference and video conference during the COVID-19 emergency, to pull an item requires 3 members to pull an item. So if council members would like to pull an item, it will require the concurrence of 3 members. So Councilor Davila on the consent calendar.
Mayor, you were going to allow me to amendment to memory.
Yes, thank you so much. I apologize. So before we go to the consent calendar, Councilor Davila had requested that we adjourn and honor a number of individuals. And my apologies, council member. Thank you for making the request, and the floor is yours.
Thank you. It's with great sadness that I'd like to adjourn the meeting in 3 people's memories this evening. Civil rights leader and Congress member John Lewis, who is a Congress member known to be compassionate, kind, gentle, and a gentle human being. He was a leader, a father, an activist, a conscience of the Congress. I'll make it short because of the time. And then also C.T. Vivian, Cordy Tyndale. Vivian was an American minister, author, close friend, and lieutenant of Martin Luther King Jr. During the civil rights movement. Vivian resided in Atlanta and founded the C.T. Vivian Leadership Institute. And also Cece Levinson, who was a friend of our family, the Davila's family. And she was just such a beautiful woman. I remember one time we went to a party at their house, and as soon as we arrived, the house was packed. Person to person, shoulder to shoulder. And they gave us a standing ovation because the Davilas had arrived. But she was, Miss Levinson was an important center of Berkeley political life for 50 years. She worked closely with the Black Panther Party and founded the Huey Newton Defense Fund. She also organized National Committee to Combat Fascism, which was the organizing arm for Black Panther Party in the white community. She traveled across the country many times, developing chapters. She was an amazing woman, and all three of these people were amazing for the time that they lived and were with us. And I want to like to adjourn in their memories this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilor Davila. And we will be adjourning in honor of those individuals. And I will forward to the clerk the names so that they are part of the minutes. And Councilor Davila, as you may know, if you would like to request that we send a certificate honoring anyone who we adjourned, you can request that from the city clerk. And we can send a certificate recognizing the council adjourned in the memory.
Oh, I never knew that, actually. In the 3.5 years, learned something new every day. Thank you for telling me, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, so we have a consent calendar, consists of items 1 through 4. Once again, the rules that we adopted for remote meetings during COVID-19 requires that an item from consent be pulled with the consent of 3 members. Councilmember Harrison on the consent calendar?
Yeah. I don't want to pull these from consent, but I want to ask that items 2 and 3 be sent to the FIGHT committee. We have a lively discussion going about the BASO rebates, and I think there's points of view from both directions. Some people are saying we shouldn't be doing this at all. Others are saying we need to be doing this much more aggressively and requiring electrification and mandating expenditures. I think this is something that's just going to require more conversation, and I'd really want to have the staff have an opportunity, not at 10 o'clock at night, to talk about these issues. Yeah. So I'd like to ask that that be sent to FIGHTS, as well as the item relating to the transfer tax. As you know, my office introduced this a couple of years ago, and the staff have agreed that instead of just saying defer doing anything on this, that we send it to FIGHTS and see what the fiscal situation is like. This is the item where we would allow people to take part of their money from the transfer tax and use it for energy improvements, just like we do for earthquake safety improvements. And they're interested in looking at sending this to the committee, seeing what the fiscal situation looks like, because their entire reason for not doing it right now, after they spent, I can't tell you how many months working on this program, is the fiscal situation. So they're looking to kind of hold on to that for a little longer and then see how we come out. So that'd be items 2 and 3 going to the FIGHTS committee. But again, I don't want to pull them from consent. I don't think that's worth it. People are interested in doing that, I think that's a better way to go.
I think that's a good suggestion. Let me go to the other council members who asked to speak, and they'll come back to you about that specific suggestion. But I agree that additional discussion is warranted, particularly on item 2 and stakeholder engagement. I acknowledge stakeholder engagement has happened, but just another round would be beneficial. Councilmember Weingraff, and then we'll go to Vice Mayor Hahn, who cannot raise her hand. She's a co-host.
Yes, I support Councilmember Harrison's, I don't know if it's a motion, but I support sending both of those items to the policy committee. Thank you.
Vice Mayor Hahn.
Thank you very much. I support those actions as well. I wanted to suggest slight edit on the direction on item 1. And then I just have a quick question on item 4. Is that all right?
Sure.
They're not major.
Okay.
So item 1, we would be approving the electric mobility roadmap and then refer to the city manager to form an electric mobility implementation working group, including stakeholders, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess I'm just a little concerned with, with the resource issue and time issue for staff, that we might be better off putting this either in the Transportation Commission or the Energy Commission or in a little sub group made up of the two of them. Just thinking that it's, even though it's ad hoc and not a working group that's supposed to last forever, that maybe we should use resources that already exist, that staff are already assigned to. So I don't, maybe I'm, maybe it's a solution in search of a problem, but I wanted to put it out there as a question or possibility to consider. And we could even just leave it open. We could say, you know, working group and or, you know, and give them the option of doing it through an existing committee, if that was helpful.
Why don't I go to Jordan Klein, interim planning director, get his thoughts on this, or one of his staff?
Yeah, I think that Councilmember Hahn's suggestion to leave it open would work for staff. I think we would certainly consider including representatives from those commissions as among those community stakeholders that are engaged as part of the working group.
So, but it sounds like you're okay with you have the capacity to form a working group at this time.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
But I think the suggestion of also including that we want to engage relevant commissions as part of the working group is appropriate. It sounds like that's acceptable to the planning department. Vice Mayor Hahn?
Sure, that works great. And I'm not sure that we even have to, I mean, we could add it.
Okay.
Just wanted to make sure they had the flexibility to place this where they wanted.
Okay, what's the other issue?
The other is on item 4, there's two parts to the city manager's response and recommendation. And I had a question. The second part was to include the word climate impacts along with environmental sustainability for the analysis that's done. And I guess I kind of viewed that more as a symbolic move to kind of daylight the fact that climate is a really big part of environment. And so I didn't fully understand why it was more work to do this analysis if you added the word climate impacts, because in my mind, that is part of the environmental impacts. So I was just curious why this felt like something new. I felt like it was a new title for the same work. So I'm not sure who would answer that.
Sure. You know, I would wonder if Billy Romaine from the Office of Energy and Sustainable Development could speak a little bit about the distinction between environmental impacts and climate impacts, if any.
Yeah, thanks for the question. You know, we agreed with the recommendation. I think what we were just saying is when we initially did the environmental sustainability section, we did a lot of training and developed guidelines and reviewed the report sections. And, you know, that was several years ago, and a lot of those staff have left. And some of that training has been integrated into regular report writing, but we would just want to do some additional training. And I think the implication that climate impacts might want some quantification. So it might just need some additional training for people to understand what that means. So it's, you know, we're just trying to say that we don't want to just put the words symbolically on the reports. We also want to do some capacity building and training of staff so that they're providing meaningful answers.
Thank you. But does that mean, are you advocating to not even have environmental impacts? Or you're just, I thought it was that you just didn't want to add the word climate. So I kind of feel like what you're saying is that everybody needs training because nobody's going to know even how to do the environmental impacts piece. Or did I misunderstand?
No, we're recommending adding climate impacts to environmental sustainability and adding the phrase climate impacts. But we want to also provide some additional training so that staff understands what that means, and we reiterate sort of guidelines and training. So the recommendation is to, our recommendation is to move forward with including that language.
Yeah, what they're asking is that we amend the rules to include that that as a required section of the reports.
Okay.
It has to go to the agenda rules committee.
Correct.
I see.
So they agree that we should expand it.
Okay, so I was completely confused. And now I understand. So I have no comment on this. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Jossi.
Thank you, and thank you, staff, for responding to this referral. I'm gonna, I have just some issues with the second part of the recommendation that I think will be addressed at agenda and rules. So I am going to abstain until I hear that conversation on item number 4, but I don't need to take up any more of your time. But I appreciate the work that you all are doing. And thank you for the clarification. This was a request passed by council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jossi. Councillor Davila?
So would it be two separate line items, climate and then the other one? Or is it one?
Staff is recommending that the two be combined into a single section.
I think it should be separate. That's my thought on it. And if we had a climate, race, and equity department, they could handle all this, and the climate action fund could pay for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent calendar with the following amendments regarding item 1, that the electric mobility implementation working group would engage relevant commissions. And regarding item 2 and 3, that we refer those items to the Facilities, Infrastructure, Sustainability, and Environment Committee. And that's my motion, and also including item 4. Seconded by Harrison. Thank you. Okay, so on the consent calendar, is there any public comment? If so, please raise your hand or press star 9. See, we have one raised hand. Liza?
Hi, everybody. Liza from Walk Bike Berkeley again. I just really want to support item number 1, the electric mobility roadmap. Walk Bike Berkeley has been active in with staff in trying to insert language in the electric mobility roadmap about specifically e-bikes, and staff have been really amazing in talking about that. I think I've spoken to you all before. I really do think that the e-bike is a game changer for many, many people. Speaking for myself, I have hauled, 70-pound kids up to Tilden from the flats of Berkeley in my e-bike. We know there are e-trikes for people who have less stability. And this is just really a technology that could replace, I would venture, I mean, I don't have data on it, but like 80% of trips in Berkeley, I think, could be replaced by e-bikes and e-trikes. And this plan really incorporates it. I think the three main barriers to people adopting electric bicycles are feeling safe on the streets, and that's something that just needs to be addressed overall. Having a safe place to store an expensive bike, and then also the cost of the bikes themselves. They are quite expensive. And this electric mobility roadmap has ideas about how to address all of those and more. So we are very much fully in support of this roadmap. And thanks to staff for preparing a great one.
Thank you. Okay, Kieran Chenoy.
Yeah, just thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
That's my eye watch. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to thank you all for removing these items or sending these items to committee. We really appreciate that at the Bridge Association of Realtors. And I want to thank Councilmember Harrison for immediately calling us after receiving our email and letting us know that she had a willingness to talk with us further about these issues. So thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Harrison. That's it.
Thank you. Okay, Terry Taplin.
Hey, Terry Taplin, Transportation Commission Vice Chair. I agree with Liza. I just want to say that, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any other raised hands? So please raise your hand and press star 9. Okay, I don't see any raised hands. Mr. Clerk, are there any written comments on the consent calendar?
Yes, there's two comments. First is from Mary Canavan. Dear Mayor and Council Members, I understand the City Council will be discussing changes to BASO tonight. with a hastily called 24 hours notice. It calls for doing an inspection at a time of listing instead of having the buyer do it after. As a real estate professional handling listings, I can assure you that adds an element of complication and awkwardness that runs counter to the ultimate goals of the program. I spent a lot of time with Billy working on Beso and understood what the goal was with the program. If it is not working well as it was intended, my suggestion is to work with the existing program and make it better instead of throwing it out and starting it over with something else that will have its own shortcomings. If there was a credit available out of the transfer tax that went along with having the buyer do the audit, you would see more improvements coming from the program. Putting it in the seller's hands means pretty much nothing will be done. I think the city has not offered enough support to the Energy Commission to do a good job with the program that should be working better than it is. The audits could be improved since they are oddly unhelpful, and offering an incentive to make some improvements will go a long way to getting buyers to act. Thank you for reading this.
Thank you.
The comment is, Walk by Berkeley supports the resolution about the electric mobility roadmap. This roadmap now properly puts rapid implementation of the bicycle plan, pedestrian master plan update, and Vision Zero action plan as a top strategy. Functional and safe streets are critical to achieve the mode shift away from gas-powered cars that Berkeley needs. Let's get this done. The addition of e-bikes in the roadmap as a preferred mode is also critical. E-bikes make cycling practical for commuting, hauling kids, shopping, and more without sweat, even in the Berkeley's hills. E-bikes crush climate with 1,000 to 4,000 mpg and are 10 to 30 times more effective than EVs. They leverage subsidies more effectively and do not require a build out of vehicle charging infrastructure. Walk by Berkeley will support the walking group to make this vision reality. Let's rapidly A, make our streets functional and safe for all people on foot and bicycle, and B, help more Berkeley residents get out of their cars on e-bikes. And that's it.
I see we have one more raised hand, Candace Hyde Wong. Candace, I've enabled you to speak if you can unmute yourself. If you would like to speak, please unmute yourself.
Okay, here I am. Thanks. I just want to support the changes with Beso, and I think it's important that we really start with requiring buyers and sellers to do the changes during the transaction at the point of sale and go back to our roots with RICO. If you remember RICO, it was sponsored originally by Nancy Skinner. It was a program where we got a lot done, and Beso has not been a program where we got a lot done because there are no mandatory requirements. I also want to point out as a realtor and that of 30 years experience that our buyer pool right now is very, very strong financially. About 30% of the buyers are all cash. The median price in Berkeley is $1.35 million. People who have that can get an 80% loan on that kind of property are making about $400,000 a year. So to require a service upgrade at point of sale is not a burdensome thing. In addition, today I just wanted to point out we had a presentation on insurance, homeowners insurance, which is very problematic right now in many areas. And the speaker said in no uncertain terms that knob and tube is no longer insurable in California. Now that's a pretty strong statement because probably many more than 50% of the buildings, both single family homes and rental properties, are knob and tube. So we need to move forward with our electrification program with getting new services in, new boxes in, new wiring in, so that both people will be able to be insured and we can move towards our climate goals. So I really support us having a strong Beso and get back to our roots of RICO and point of sale mandates. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, that completes public comment. So we have a motion, which is to approve the consent calendar with an amendment to item one to engage relevant commissions in the Electric Mobility Implementation Working Group, to refer items two and three to the FITES Committee, and to approve item four, noting Councilor Drossi's abstention on that item. I'd just like to say I am very excited that we are moving ahead with the adoption of the Electric Mobility Roadmap. I think this is really critical to not just the implementation of our climate action plan, but to make sure that all segments of our community can bike and walk and commute throughout our city safely. And it doesn't just include EVs, but also other forms of electric mobility, including scooters and bikes. And so I think this is a really exciting and ambitious roadmap for us to use in the coming years. To expand our EV infrastructure, the number of EVs owned by people in our community, and other modes of electric mobility. So I want to thank our staff for all their work in moving this forward. So with that, we have a motion. Let's call the roll.
Councilmember Kesarwani on consent.
Yes.
Davila.
Yes.
Bartlett.
Yes.
Harrison.
Yes.
Hahn.
Yes.
Wengraff.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Drosty.
Yes.
And Mayor Aragin.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Okay, motion carries. So we'll go to item five. And Mr. Klein, I wanted to check with you. I know that some of your presentation involved presenting on items on the consent calendar. So I wanted to just check with you about the remainder of your presentation.
You know, I know it's getting late. And so if council prefers, you know, staff is prepared to provide an update on the climate action plan and also briefly on each of the four items from the consent calendar, including the electric mobility plan and the others. You know, this report does represent, all of these reports represent a tremendous amount of staff work over the past year, and we'd appreciate the opportunity for presentation and discussion and to receive further direction from council. But if it's the will on the council to just keep it to the cap update, we can do that as well.
Yeah, I think given that we've already taken action on those items, I think we should defer a presentation on those items we've already voted on and just move to the climate action plan update. And if copies of the presentation can be made available to the council so we have them and we can review them at our convenience, that would be very appreciated.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
So we'll proceed. Thank you and good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm Jordan Klein, Interim Director of Planning and Development. I'll be joined in this presentation by staff from our Office of Energy and Sustainable Development, Billy Romaine, Katie Van Dyke. Also, I think we're going to be skipping over the pieces from Ann Reagan and Sarah Moore, but I think you'll get to hear from them perhaps when we come to the FITES Committee later this year. So OESD is the staff unit, of course, in the city that's responsible for leading our work to implement the Climate Action Plan, and we're lucky to have such a talented, dedicated, and professional group to lead this critical work. As you'll hear during the presentation, we've adjusted some of our recommendations. Actually, you won't hear that because we're not going to go over those items. I did want to observe that for each of the sustainability items for the CAP and each of the items on the consent calendar, the OESD team has consistently applied a racial equity lens. In other words, they've spent time to carefully consider for each of these sustainability programs and policies who benefits, who is burdened, and who's left out, and then make adjustments accordingly. And in that way, the unit is really setting a great example for our entire organization. And finally, I wanted to appreciate council's leadership on our sustainability work. This council has proposed and adopted policies that have really kept Berkeley on the cutting edge of municipal sustainability work. Even during a time of crisis, you've made it clear that sustainability and addressing climate change continues to be one of the city's core values and areas of focus. And as the staff group responsible for implementing this work, we want you to know how much we appreciate the partnership and leadership from this council. So with that introduction, I'm now going to turn it over to the manager of OESD, Billy Romaine.
Thank you, Jordan. And council, we really appreciate having this dedicated session on climate issues to provide our annual climate action report that includes the Berkeley's emissions inventory and trends, as well as the programs aimed to reduce emissions and build resilience. So we know we're in the middle of a crisis in our community, a pandemic that provides economic and health crisis, but we also are impacted by the climate crisis. And that includes extreme weather, increased heat, drought, wildfires, wild smoke events, as well as flooding from sea level and groundwater rise. All of these events exacerbate racial and economic inequality and health disparities, which is why we prioritize programs that provide multiple benefits, programs that improve health and wellness, as well as reducing emissions. So, and we want to thank Council for your leadership on both resiliency and climate action. You allow us to do the work that we do. We also want to thank our fellow city staff for their tremendous efforts in reducing emissions and increasing resilience. We are highlighting work done throughout the city. It's not just our office. A lot of it's in partnership with other departments, especially Public Works, that provides our transportation and zero waste, as well as other city departments. As a reminder, our emissions inventory excludes both campus and lab because those are outside the city's jurisdiction, but we have provided their progress reports in our report to provide that broader community perspective. So let's see. So, So Berkeley has ambitious goals, we know, that go way beyond our climate action plan. We have a clear goal established by council to become a fossil fuel free city. So we know that we want a Berkeley that's powered by the people, not by fossil fuel and unnatural gas. So this is our emissions inventory with our most recent data, that's from 2018. So you'll notice that over time, as we transition to electricity generated from renewable sources, from sun and wind, the greater proportion of our emissions comes from burning fossil fuels, both in buildings and in our cars as gasoline. So the next slide is our emissions reveal. Despite a population increase of 18% and an expanding economy, we've reduced our emissions 26% below 2000 levels in 2018. Now, the biggest reductions are from building energy use, from energy efficiency, and from cleaner electricity. Our emissions are down 78% in electricity due to East Bay communities' energy, due to their cleaner electricity service. So we've done a lot, but we know we still have more to do to get down to emissions free. But the accomplishments we've made are consistent with our path to clean energy future strategy, which is to reduce use, both eliminating driving alone in vehicles, eliminating single use products, and also energy efficiency in buildings. Then the next step is having cleaner electricity, which we've been able to achieve through East Bay Community Energy, and we expect their emissions to be reduced over time. So the remainder of our work is really focused on that third element, which is electrifying transportation and buildings. So as the city regenerates from COVID-19, it's critical that we center equity in our work and resilience. So these overarching goals that align with the strategic plan and guide our work to achieve the climate action goals. So now I'm going to pass it on to Katie to talk about the specific programs that we've been working on to reduce the emissions.
Thanks, Billy. So next we're gonna highlight some of the great work going on in the city to advance climate action. I will try to go quick because I know it is late. So first we're gonna start with transportation, which accounts for the largest source of emissions at 59%, and it's generally the hardest to tackle. Next slide.
So the main focus in transportation is really on active transportation, which are strategies that encourage walking, biking, and public transit over single occupancy vehicles. Examples of work being done here are advancing bike share, electric bikes, and other micromobility options. And in addition to encouraging active transportation, another goal is to transition our transit options from fossil fuels to clean electricity. So a key example here is the electric mobility roadmap, which we are very excited has just been adopted. So we wanted to thank Council for your support in adopting and implementing it in the future. Next slide. So next we're gonna cover buildings, which is the second largest source of emissions at 37%. Next slide. And as Billy mentioned, for buildings, we want to reduce energy use, promote the purchase of clean energy, and then transition all of those buildings from natural gas to clean electricity, which we call building electrification. And so electrification is really important because it not only reduces emissions, but it has co-benefits of improving comfort, health, and safety in our homes. And while people are sheltering in place due to COVID-19, our in-home conditions have become more important than ever, and we want to make sure that everyone has equal access to these benefits. But we also want to make sure that we're mindful of the economic impacts of promoting electrification, especially for more vulnerable populations. And next, our municipal buildings account for just a small percentage of our overall greenhouse gas emissions, but it's important for the city to lead by example. And so many of our buildings are receiving energy efficiency and electrification upgrades, including those listed here. Next slide. And next, we're going to talk about waste, which accounts for approximately 3% of our overall community emissions. And although this seems small, reducing waste can save emissions related to producing and transporting goods. And also reducing waste sent to landfills reduces methane emissions, which is a powerful greenhouse gas released as organic materials decompose. So the Zero Waste Division is strategically planning and implementing programs and services to bring the city closer to zero landfill waste. And some of the key efforts toward this goal are listed here, including the single-use foodware and litter reduction ordinance, which has been significantly impacted by COVID-19. Next, we wanted to highlight some of the work being done to help our community adapt to the impacts of climate change that we're already seeing. And a handful of examples of climate adaptation work across the city are listed on this slide, including an upcoming grant-funded study that will provide new insights into projected flooding from combined sea level rise and groundwater rise due to climate change. And finally, we wanted to talk briefly about our resilience work in the city. And as a reminder, we define resilience as an approach to how we do our work in a way that addresses as many challenges as possible, achieves as many benefits as possible, and brings as many people to the table as possible. We wanted to highlight a couple of examples of the resilience work going on across the city. There's some amazing work going on in the Emergency Operations Center by staff and community members to both respond to and recover from COVID-19. And racial equity is also a key priority of the city. And so, as Jordan mentioned, we've been taking an equity approach to the work that we do. And that includes the electric mobility roadmap, as well as an existing building electrification strategy. And both of these reports included equity partners who are helping us to make sure that we're doing meaningful community engagement and are at the table to help us identify the right policies. And finally, to wrap up our updates, we wanted to highlight that all this work cannot be done without the support of our community partners. And we value and appreciate the work that they do. And this slide shows some of the organizations we've worked with over the years, but this is in no way an exhaustive list. And we would also encourage anyone who's interested in taking action to join the Berkeley Climate Action Coalition. This is an amazing organization of volunteers, which has been the main vehicle for climate engagement. And it's co-convened by the Ecology Center and the city's Office of Energy and Sustainable Development. Thank you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Billy.
Thank you, Katie. So once again, we really appreciate this opportunity to provide the annual report. We've made progress, but we have much to do. And obviously we have some additional programs that we'll be working on with you that will be very exciting in the next year. We also want to be sensitive to the new reality, and we'll continue to work hard on these issues, and we welcome additional resources that may be coming available. So thank you again for your leadership.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm very sorry that you truncated your presentation. I really appreciate your patience. I hope that maybe sometime in the fall we can present on the other kind of bigger proposals. So maybe I can speak to the city manager, Mr. Klein, about touching upon the roadmap, because I think that's really a foundation for other work that we're going to do, and maybe the other programs that you did not present today. It might be good to maybe schedule time for that presentation so we can have some more discussion that can inform subsequent council action. So I'm very, very sorry that this was late in the evening, but that in no way is in any indication of my lack of appreciation for all that you do. We have an amazing staff in energy and sustainability and in all of our city departments that are working on our climate action work. And in the work that I do regionally, I mean, our Berkeley staff are really at the forefront of these conversations in not only policy development, but also in developing programs that are really making an impact in addressing our climate crisis. So I just want to express my deepest appreciation to all. We're so lucky to have you working for our city, and look forward to the opportunity in which we can have another presentation, maybe some more robust discussion on some of the other proposals. So it is 10:54, so I'm going to make a motion to extend the meeting to 11:15 to allow public comment and council discussion. Is there a second?
Second.
Let's call the roll on the motion to extend to 11:15.
Councilmember Kisarwani.
Yes.
Davila.
I guess so.
Bartlett.
Yes.
Harrison. Is absent. Councilmember Hahn.
Yes.
Wengraff.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Drosty.
Yes.
And Mayor Arrighi.
Yes, thank you. Okay. I'm going to go to Councilmember Wengraff.
Thank you. Thank you, staff, for all of your wonderful work. You make me proud. I have one request, and that is that you include in your climate adaptation and community resilience chapter something about wildfire and all of the work that this city is doing to try to counteract wildfire and its impact on our climate. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, and I know that our resilience strategy, which, you know, there's a lot of overlap between the climate action plan and the resiliency strategy. The resiliency strategy particularly talked about the threat of earthquake and wildfire, and obviously there's intersectionality, you know, warmer, drier climates create extreme fire risk. Our energy sector and, you know, the fact that our PG&E is not properly maintaining its infrastructure creates an enormous risk, which has resulted in catastrophic fires in the state of California. So the more that we can transition to cleaner sources of energy, we can and create distributed energy systems and microgrids, the more that we can not only be resilient, but also be able to mitigate the potential fire risk. So I do think there's a lot of intersectionality between the issue of fire risk and wildfire prevention and climate change.
Thank you.
Councilor Drosty, Davila, Robinson, and then Hahn.
Hi, I'll make this brief. I just really want to thank you for all of your hard work. And I completely agree with the mayor's assessment that Berkeley has always been a leader, and you all are sort of leading the charge on this. And I just really appreciate all of your work, and especially taking into account a lot of our concerns around making sure that we're addressing equity within our city. Just a few things that I want to highlight in reading the report. Again, as we know, transportation is the biggest bulk of our issue. And so I think as much as we can focus on these issues which you highlighted in your report around transit first, complete streets, vision zero, and changing mobility patterns, I think will help really move the needle on those transportation, those sad transportation statistics in terms of our greenhouse gas emissions. So again, I just really wanted to take this time to thank you for all of your work. Thank you for sticking it out. I am very much looking forward to hearing another presentation, just as the mayor alluded to. I think that certainly I'm very interested in this, and I think the community is interested in hearing more from you, and also just to recognize all of the hard work that you've done. I would love to hear a presentation on that. So thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. Councilor Davila?
Yes, thank you for the report. And then also, I was just kind of disappointed about the mobility roadmap, because we've been hearing about it for months and months and months. And, you know, I think that it would be helpful to hear the presentation at some point and get the presentation ahead of time, I guess, would be helpful as well. And also, as you know, it was our office that did the climate emergency declaration and the fossil fuel-free city. And from that, we had the ad hoc subcommittee on climate. And then I founded the Climate Emergency Mobilization Task Force, which is having its first virtual webinar this Friday from 9 to noon. So I just wanted to give you that information, which let me just pull it up. It's a virtual summit series. It's the first one. It's called Virtual Summit Series for an Environmentally Just and Regenerative Future. It's Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. The title, the first topic of the series is Sustainable and Healthy Cities, with different workshops and speakers on city and regional planning, ecological protection and regeneration, social justice and climate, resiliency, fundraising and financing, and defund the police. You can go to the cemtf.org and check it out. There's a Eventbrite page and stuff like that. It should be fun, it should be exciting. And anyway, you're all invited. Just wanted to plug that while I'm here on the Zoom. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilmember Robinson.
Likewise, thank you all so much. Yeah, I was really, really glad to receive this presentation right now, especially. I think it's a really important story to tell to our residents, who I know many of whom feel like during the pandemic in this moment right now, so many of our priorities around our green work, our climate work are slipping. You know, for good reason, we're encouraging people to behave in ways that feel like they run counter to the sort of changes that we've been working on for decades and decades and decades. People are rightfully fearful of relying on public transit right now. People are rightly fearful of dining out in any way that doesn't require single-use takeout disposables. And so as we move into a recovery, I'm thinking about the relationship that all our residents have right now to the sort of behavioral changes that we've been trying to encourage in our climate work. But you know, looking at all this, despite this moment, yeah, you zoom out a little bit and it's so clear how on track we are for a really huge shift, which is exciting. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hunt and then Bartlett.
Thank you very much. I would also like to join myself to all the compliments and gratitude to our amazing staff for the work they do every day, and then for these huge projects that you've been able to deliver under very difficult circumstances, for you as well as for everybody else. And I think it's just a real credit to Berkeley and to you that we are able to produce such incredible work. What do they say, come hell or high water? I think we're really proving that. I just had, I look forward to another time when we can talk about these things more, but I just had one comment about the roadmap in that, as part of this presentation, I know I really think that that dovetails very well with Councilmember Robinson's item about creating a new Department of Transportation. Now, I know that that was kind of inspired by the need to look at how we allocate our police resources, but if we're going to have a new department or a new division that is focused on transit, then it seems to me that the roadmap is a really good start for a strategic plan for that department. Doesn't have the whole thing, but it's got probably about two-thirds of what we would really want to see fully embodied in, you know, any kind of new renewed initiative and reframing of how Berkeley thinks about transit. And so not only is it, I think, an important contribution to our GHG goals, but it really is a statement of where we need to go with mobility in Berkeley. It's not just, oh, an electric, you know, roadmap. It's a roadmap, it's the roadmap for the future. And I look forward to seeing all these things come together. And I think there's just really inspiring potential to do right on the equity issues and the other issues that we're trying to address through the Robinson referral, as well as this being the next big frontier for us to reduce our GHG emissions. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Robinson, or Bartlett, sorry.
Oh, thank you. That's a good mistake. I'll accept that.
No, nobody can replace you.
Oh, you know. First, I too want to thank the staff and the volunteers for such amazing work. You know, it's a little known fact that I cut my teeth in the environmental business, renewable energy to be exact, and you know, we even back then, long before we anticipated the calamities we're in now, we knew that the climate mitigation, climate restoration, climate adaptation would have these permutations throughout the economy that we could use to bolster and create a new economy. And I think now the stage is truly set where the old ways are now going to give way to the new way. And so as much as we are able to set an infrastructure to like a cup, if you will, a cup to receive the resources that will be coming to transform, the better off we'll be. You know, and I was gonna ask if you have, if on your partnerships, we always worked with IBEW, the Electrical Workers Union. They make all the grids and solar chargers and expensive, neat electricity things. Have they been involved? Anyone? Don't rush to the mic.
You know, we are doing some engagement with labor and some analysis looking at part of our existing building electrification strategy, which is a study that's currently underway. We're looking at how to create high road jobs. So the trades IBEW is especially relevant when we're looking at commercial construction. So they're, you know, we definitely have spoken with them. And we're also very fortunate that they are the trade association that represents PG&E both on the electric and the gas side. So definitely labor needs to be involved, and we want to be sure that we're creating high road jobs as we make this transition.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and you know, and they in particular would be the ones who would train the young people and the new people how to transition to this employment, because it will be a source of deep employment that robots won't be able to do for a long time. And in particular, the batteries that we use in electric cars and buses and whatnot, they need to be manufactured and they need to be transported by land because they're too heavy. So we're not going to get them from overseas. We're going to make them here. So as we look at these microgrids, transportation systems, automation, redesigning buildings, residential transformation and entities like East Bay Clean Energy, we have all the ingredients to really have an electrified future that can generate prosperity in a time of darkness. So I want to thank you and encourage you to stay engaging and watch the federal resource flow that will be coming our way. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so let's now go to public comment. We have two raised hands. The first is caller with the number ending 915.
Hi, this is Thomas for District 2. Before I start, for the benefit of the city clerk, let me say that I'm just going to speak the comment that I sent by email to spare you from reading my tortured prose. And for the mayor, I have yields from Zelda Bronstein, Eva Crescent, from my spouse, and also from James McFadden. I share council's appreciation for the work that staff does in this area. Let me point out four distressing facts that I hope you know about the report. The city is using an out-of-date goal of 80% reduction in emissions relative to year 2000 to be completed by year 2050. This goal is objectively inadequate to achieve the Paris goals of trying to limit warming well below 2 degrees Celsius, and certainly not more than 2 degrees Celsius. Governor Newsom has put forward a similarly inadequate goal of net zero by 2045. The Paris goals require us here in this well-developed part of the world to reach net zero long before that. To put this in perspective, every year, using a measure based on household consumption in Berkeley, our emissions per capita, every average Berkeleyan, so to speak, is responsible for emissions that are something like around 2.53 times the global per capita, and listen to this next word, lifetime carbon budget for a human on Earth right now. That is to say, in a given year right now, we're blowing through 2 lifetimes worth of carbon every year. If you even say, let's go for 2 degrees, let's relax and go for 2 degrees, we blow through that in a small number of years, 2, 3, 4, something like that. This climate action report and Berkeley's current policy says, in effect, to every one of our children, our grandchildren, to every young adult, to every grandchild, to every child, to every young adult around the world, to hell with your future. We're more worried about our economy right now, and we fantasize that some miracle will save us.
Mr. Lord, if you can just wrap up your comments.
I told you I have yields, and so I have a few minutes to finish this up. It's a little under 500 words.
You had time yielded. Could you specify who's yielding you time?
I did. Didn't I? I thought I did. Zelda Bronstein, Eva Crescent, my spouse, and James McFadden.
Are they on the call?
So I have an excessive numbers of no, but they were on the email, and you have not asked that question of other people who have had yields.
That has been our practice. They need to be on the call to yield you time.
Oh, that's nonsense, because you have not. That is a newly made up practice that is discriminatory and raises Fourth Amendment questions.
Mr. Lord, on meetings you participated in. So unless there's somebody who is currently on the call who's yielding you an additional 2 minutes.
Mr. Mayor, we're going to have words about this.
Okay, thank you. Janet Stromberg.
Thank you. Janet Stromberg, District 6, Acting Chair of the Energy Commission. Briefly to speak to the previous speaker's point is that every single one of us understands where we need to go, which is basically practically to zero carbon emissions. And it's a partnership across our whole society. It's not on anyone's shoulders, but it's on all our shoulders. And I think we understand that. What I really want to say is how great it is to see Billy and Sarah and Katie again and see the steady work you're doing. I'm so appreciative of the sophisticated work you do leading to effective policy with multiple multifaceted benefits. And I want to give a nod to everything that's come before this in all the public meetings and outreach that you've you've really done an effective job getting the input from the community in so many different ways. And I see that reflected in the PowerPoint as quickly as we went through it. And I just want to say thank you. And I look forward to, you know, re-engaging however we can. And I'm very glad you're there doing your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stromberg. We're going to go to Kelly Hammergren.
Hello. Well, in 2018, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the study was for us to limit warming to 1.5 degrees. And according to the World Meteorological Organization, we're going to be there within, between now and 2024, we will be at 1.5 degrees for at least 1 month out of that time. I mean, we're just crashing into 1.5 degrees centigrade. And so while we have brought down some of our greenhouse gas emissions, we really need to be way more aggressive than what we're doing, because without that type of action, we're going to be crashing through 1.5 within the next 4 years, and then it'll be 2 degrees, and then it'll be three, and then it will keep going. It's unfortunate that this is happening. This discussion is happening this late at night after many of us have been here for more than 7 hours, because this really deserves a lot of our attention and work to figure out how we are going to move forward and be even more aggressive in meeting our reductions for greenhouse gases. Thank you.
Thank you. Moni Law.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just very quickly, I wanted to concur with Kelly and Thomas Lord's comments about the urgency and the importance of making this a high priority. It took 6 months, but it got cut down to 2 months for a world tour for climate crisis awareness and speaking to amplifying voices of Indigenous people. So I was able to see people in Costa Rica, Belize, and Brazil who were fighting these areas of survival. And I'm really happy that we're doing all that we can, and we'll do more, I hope, personally and collectively as a town. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I don't see any other raised hands. Were there any written comments, Mr. Clerk? I believe we are adjourned. Mr. Newmanville, are you there?
Yes. No, I don't see any new written comments for this.
Yeah, I think Mr. Lord spoke. So colleagues, we are adjourned. To Mr. Klein and the staff in Energy and Sustainability, our apologies that we got to this item late, but we really appreciate all your amazing work. And I agree that we should schedule this in the fall to maybe present again and to have more discussion, particularly on those action items that we had approved that we will be working to implement. So I will be in conversation with the city manager about scheduling that presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, staff. Appreciate your presentation.
Okay, thank you. We are adjourned. Have a good evening.